Therefore, each day I go about this camp, dressing your wounds, healing your sores. But if ye ever rouse yourselves up and become fit even to wound others, I will both teach you this art of war and instruct you how to handle these weapons, or rather your works themselves will be weapons to you. And all men will immediately submit if you would become merciful, if forbearing, if mild and patient, if you would show forth all other virtue. But if any gainsay, then we will also add the proof of what we can show on our part, bringing you forward, since now we rather are hindered, at least as to your part, in this race. And mark, we say that Christ hath done great things, having made angels of men. Then, when we are called upon to give account, and required to furnish a proof out of this flock, our mouths are stopped. For I am afraid lest in the place of angels I bring forth swine as from a stile and horses mad with lust. I know ye are pained, but not against you all are these things spoken, but against the guilty, or rather not even against them if they awake, but for them. Since now indeed all is lost and ruined, and the church is become nothing better than a stable of oxen, and a fold for asses and camels, and I go round seeking for a sheep and am not able to see it. So much are all kicking, like horses, and any wild asses, and they fill the place here with much dung, for like this is their discourse. And if indeed one could see the things spoken at each assemblage by men, by women, thou wouldest see their words more unclean than that dung. Wherefore I entreat you to change this evil custom, that the church may smell of ointment. But now, while we lay up in it, perfumes for the senses, the uncleanness of the mind we use no great diligence to purge out and drive away. What then is the advantage? For we do not so much disgrace the church by bringing dung into it, as we disgrace it by speaking such things one to another, about gains, about merchandise, about petty tradings, about things that are nothing to us, when there ought to be choirs of angels here, and we ought to make the church a heaven, and to know nothing else but earnest prayers, and silence with listening. This then let us do at any rate from the present time, that we may both purify our lives, and attain unto the promised blessings, by the grace and love towards man of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, world without end. Amen. Homily 89, Matthew 27, verse 62-64. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him away, and say to the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error should be worse than the first. Everywhere deceit recoils upon itself, and against its will supports the truth. And observe, it was necessary for it to be believed that he died, and that he rose again, and that he was buried, and all these things are brought to pass by his enemies, see at any rate these words bearing witness to every one of these facts. We remember, these are the words, that that deceiver said when he was yet alive. He was therefore now dead. After 3 days I rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be sealed. He was therefore buried, lest his disciples come and steal him away. So that if the sepulchre be sealed, there will be no unfair dealing, for there could not be. So then the proof of his resurrection has become incontrovertible by what ye have put forward. For because it was sealed, there was no unfair dealing. But if there was no unfair dealing, and the sepulchre was found empty, it is manifest that he is risen, plainly and incontrovertibly. Seest thou how even against their will they contend for the proof of the truth? But mark thou, I pray thee, the disciples' love of truth, how they conceal from us none of the things that are said by his enemies, though they use opprobrious language. Behold, at any rate, they even call him a deceiver, and these men are not silent about that. But these things show also their savageness, that not even at his death did they let go their anger, and these men's simple and truthful disposition. But it were worthwhile to inquire concerning that point also, where he said, After 3 days I rise again. For one would not find this thus distinctly stated, but rather the example of Jonah, so that they understood his saying, and of their own will dealt unfairly. What then saith Pilate? Ye have a watch, make it as sure as ye can. And they made it sure, sealing the sepulchre, and setting the watch. He suffers not the soldiers alone to seal, for as having learnt the things concerning Christ, he was no longer willing to cooperate with them. But in order to be rid of them, he endures this also, and saith, Do ye seal it as ye will, that ye may not have it in your power to blame others. For if the soldiers only had sealed, they might have said, although the saying would have been improbable and false, yet nevertheless, as in the rest they cast aside shame, so in this too they might have been able to say, that the soldiers, having given up the body to be stolen, gave his disciples opportunity to feign the history concerning his resurrection, but now having themselves made it sure, they are not able to say so much as this. Seest thou how they labor for the truth against their will? For they themselves came to Pilate, themselves asked, themselves sealed, setting the watch so as to be accusers and refuters one of another. And indeed, when should they have stolen him? On the Sabbath? And how? For it was not lawful so much as to go out. And even if they transgressed the law, how should they have dared, who were so timid, to come forth? And how could they also have been able to persuade the multitude? By saying what? By doing what? And from what sort of zeal could they have stood in behalf of the dead, expecting what recompense, what requital? Seeing him yet alive and merely seized, they had fled. And after his death, were they likely to speak boldly in his behalf unless he had risen again? And how should these things be reasonable? For that they were neither willing nor able to feign a resurrection that did not take place is plain from hence. He discoursed to them much of a resurrection, and continually said, as indeed these very men have stated, after 3 days I rise again. If therefore he rose not again, it is quite clear that these men, having been deceived and made enemies to an entire nation for his sake, and come to be without home and without city, would have abhorred him, and would not have been willing to invest him with such glory, as having been deceived and having fallen into the utmost dangers on his account. For that they would not even have been able, unless the resurrection had been true, to feign it, this does not so much as need reasoning. For in what were they confident, in the shrewdness of their reasonings? Nay, of all men they were the most unlearned. But in the abundance of their possessions? Nay, they had neither staff nor shoes. But in the distinction of their race? Nay, they were mean and of mean ancestors. But in the greatness of their country? Nay, they were of obscure places. But in their own numbers? Nay, they were not more than 11, and they were scattered abroad. But in their master's promises? What kind of promises? For if he were not risen again, neither would those be likely to be trusted by them. And how should they endure a frantic people? For if the chief of them endured not the speech of a woman keeping the door, and if all the rest too, on seeing him bound, were scattered abroad, how should they have thought to run to the ends of the earth and plant a feigned tale of a resurrection? For if he stood not a woman's threat, and they not so much as the sight of bonds, how were they able to stand against kings and rulers and nations? Where were swords and gridirons and furnaces and 10,000 deaths day by day, unless they had the benefit of the power and grace of him who rose again? Such miracles and so many were done, and none of these things did the Jews regard, but crucified him who had done them. And were they likely to believe these men at their mere word about a resurrection? These things are not. They are not so, but the might of him who rose again brought them to pass. But mark, I pray thee, their craft, how ridiculous it is. We remember, these are their words, that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I rise again. Yet if he were a deceiver, and boastfully uttered falsehood, why are ye afraid and run to and fro and use so much diligence? We are afraid, it is replied, lest perchance the disciples steal him away and deceive the multitude. And yet this has been proved to have no probability at all. Malice, however, is a thing contentious and shameless, and attempts what is unreasonable. And they command it to be made sure for 3 days as contending for doctrines, and being minded to prove that before that time also he was a deceiver, and they extend their malice even to his tomb. For this reason then he rose sooner, that they might not say that he spake falsely and was stolen. For this, his rising sooner, was open to no charge, but to be later would have been full of suspicion. For indeed, if he had not risen then when they were sitting there and watching, but when they had withdrawn after the 3 days, they would have had something to say and to speak against it, although foolishly. For this reason then he anticipated the time. For it was meet the resurrection should take place while they were sitting by and watching. Therefore also it was fit it should take place within the 3 days, since if it had been when they were past, and the men had withdrawn, the matter would have been regarded with suspicion. Wherefore also he allowed them to seal it, as they were minded, and soldiers sat around it. And they cared not about doing these things and working on a Sabbath day, but they looked to one object only, their own wicked purpose, as though by that they were to succeed, which was a mark of extreme folly and of fear now greatly dismaying them. For they who seized him when living are afraid of him when dead, and yet if he had been a mere man, they had reason to have taken courage. But that they might learn that when living also he endured of his own will what he did endure, behold both a seal, a stone, and a watch, and they were not able to hold him. But there was one result only, that the burial was published and the resurrection thereby proved, for indeed soldiers sat by it, and Jews are on the watch. But in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. After the resurrection came the angel. Wherefore then came he and took away the stone? Because of the women, for they themselves had seen him then in the sepulchre. Therefore, that they might believe that he was risen again, they see the sepulchre void of the body. For this cause he removed the stone. For this cause also an earthquake took place, that they might be thoroughly aroused and awakened. For they were come to pour oil on him, and these things were done at night. And it is likely that some also had become drowsy. And for what intent and cause doth he say, Fear not ye? First he delivers them from the dread, and then tells them of the resurrection. And the ye is of one showing them great honour, and indicating that extreme punishment awaits them that had dared to do what the others had dared, except they repented. For to be afraid is not for you, he means, but for them that crucified him. Having delivered them then from the fear both by his words and by his appearance, for his form he showed bright as bearing such good tidings, he went on to say, I know that ye seek Jesus the ye are crucified, and he is not ashamed to call him crucified, for this is the chief of the blessings. He is risen. Whence is it evident? As he said. So that if ye refuse to believe me, he would say, Remember his words, and neither will ye disbelieve me. Then also another proof. Come and see the place where he lay. For this he had lifted up the stone, in order that from this too they might receive the proof. And tell his disciples, that ye shall see him in Galilee. And he prepares them to bear good tidings to others, which thing most of all made them believe. And he said, Well, in Galilee, freeing them from troubles and dangers, so that fear should not hinder their faith. And they departed from the sepulchre with fear and joy. Why could this be? They had seen a thing amazing, and beyond expectation, a tomb empty, where they had before seen him laid. Wherefore also he had led them to the sight, that they might become witnesses of both things, both of his tomb and of his resurrection. For they considered that no man could have taken him, when so many soldiers were sitting by him, unless he raised up himself. For this cause also they rejoice and wonder, and receive the reward of so much continuance with him, that they should first see and gladly declare, not what had been said only, but also what they beheld. Therefore after then they had departed with fear and joy. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. But they held him by the feet, and with exceeding joy and gladness ran unto him, and received by the touch also an infallible proof, and full assurance of the resurrection. And they worshipped him. What then saith he? Be not afraid. Again, he himself casts out their fear, making way for faith. But go, tell my brethren, that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Mark how he himself sends good tidings to his disciples by these women, bringing to honour, as I have often said, that sex, which was most dishonoured, and to good hopes, and healing that which was diseased. Hey, perchance someone of you would wish to be like them to hold the feet of Jesus. Ye can even now, and not his feet and his hands only, but even lay hold on that sacred head, receiving the awful mysteries with a pure conscience. But not here only, but also in that day ye shall see him, coming with that unspeakable glory, and the multitude of the angels, if ye are disposed to be humane. And ye shall hear not these words only, All hail, but also those others. Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Be ye therefore humane, that ye may hear these things. And ye women that wear gold, who have looked on the running of these women, at last, though late, lay aside the disease of the desire for golden ornaments, so that if ye are emulous of these women, change the ornaments which ye wear, and clothe yourselves instead with almsgiving. What is the use, I pray you, of these precious stones and of the garments spangled with gold? My soul, you say, is glad and is pleased with these things. I asked thee the profit, but thou tellest me the hurt. For nothing is worse than being taken up with these things, and delighting in them, and being riveted to them. For more bitter is this grievous slavery, when anyone finds delight even in being a slave. For in what spiritual matter will she ever be diligent as she ought? When will she laugh to scorn, as she should, the things of this world? Who thinks it a worthy matter for joy, that she hath been chained in gold? For he that continues in prison, and is pleased, will never desire to be set free. As indeed neither will this woman. But as having become a kind of captive to this wicked desire, she will not endure so much as to hear spiritual language with becoming desire and diligence, much less to engage in such work. What then is the profit of these ornaments and this luxury? I pray thee, I am pleased with them, thou sayest, again thou hast told of the hurt and the ruin, but I enjoy also, thou sayest, much honour from the beholders. And what is this? This is the occasion of another destruction, when thou art lifted up to haughtiness, to arrogance. Come now, since thou hast not told me of the profit, bear with me while I tell thee of the mischiefs. What then are the mischiefs resulting therefrom? Anxiety which is greater than the pleasure. Wherefore many of the beholders, these I mean of the grosset sort, derive more pleasure from it than she who wears the gold. For thou indeed deckest thyself with anxiety, but they, without this, feast their eyes. Moreover, there are other things again, the debasing of the soul, the being looked upon with envy on all sides. For the neighboring women stung by it, arm themselves against their own husbands, and stir up against thee grievous wars. Together with these things, the fact that all one's leisure and anxiety are spent on this object, that one doth not apply one's self earnestly to spiritual achievements, that one is filled with haughtiness, arrogance, and vainglory, that one is riveted to the earth and loses one's wings, and instead of an eagle, becometh a dog or a swine. For having given up looking up into heaven and flying thither, thou bendest down to the earth like the swine, being curious about mines and caverns, and having an unmanly and base soul. But dost thou, when thou appearest, turn towards thee the eyes of them at the marketplace? Well then, for this very reason thou shouldest not wear gold, that thou mayest not become a common gazing stock, and open the mouths of many accusers. For none of those whose eyes are toward thee admireth thee, but they jeer at thee as fond of dress, as boastful as a carnal woman. And shouldest thou enter into a church, thou geest forth, without getting anything but countless leers and revilings and curses, not from the beholders only, but also from the prophet. For straightway Isaiah, that hath the fullest voice of all, as soon as he hath seen thee, will cry out, "These things saith the Lord against the princely daughters of Sion, because they walked with a lofty neck and with winkings of the eyes, and in their walking trailing their garments and mincing at the same time with their feet. The Lord shall take off their bravery, and instead of a sweet smell there shall be dust, and instead of a stomacher thou shalt gird thyself with a cord. These things for thy gorgeous array, for not to them only are these words addressed, but to every woman that doeth like them." And Paul again with him stands as an accuser, telling Timothy to charge the women, not to adorn themselves with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, so that everywhere the wearing of gold is hurtful, but especially when thou art entering into a church, when thou passest through the poor. For if thou weft exceedingly anxious to bring an accusation against thyself, thou couldest not put on any other array than this visage of cruelty and inhumanity. Consider at any rate how many hungry bellies thou passest by with this array, how many naked bodies with this satanical display. How much better to feed hungry souls than to bore through the lobes of thy ears, and to hang from them the food of countless poor for no purpose or profit. What is to be rich a commendation? What is to wear gold a praise? Though it be from honest earnings that these things are put on you, even so what thou hast done is a very heavy charge against thee. But when it is moreover from dishonesty, consider the exceeding greatness of it. But dost thou love praises and honor, strip thyself therefore of this ridiculous clothing, and then all will admire thee. Then shalt thou enjoy both honor and pure pleasure, since now at any rate thou art overwhelmed with jeers, working for thyself many causes of vexation arising out of these things. For should any of these things be missing, consider how many are the evils that have their birth therefrom, how many maidservants are beaten, how many men put to trouble, how many led to execution, how many cast into prison. And trials arise hence, and actions, and countless curses and accusations against the wife from the husband, against the husband from her friends, against the soul from itself. But it will not be lost. In the first place, this is not easy to secure, But even if it be kept safe constantly, yet by being kept, it occasions much anxiety and care and discomfort, and no advantage. For what kind of profit arises from hence to the house? What advantage to the woman herself who wears it? No advantage indeed, but much unseemliness and accusation from every quarter. How wilt thou be able to kiss Christ's feet and cling to them when thus dressed? From this adorning he turneth away. For this cause he vouchsafed to be born in the house of the carpenter, or rather not even in that house, but in a shed and a manger. How then wilt thou be able to behold him, not having beauty that is desirable in his eyes, not wearing the array that is lovely before him, but what is hateful? For he that cometh unto him must not deck himself out with such garments, but be clothed with virtue. Consider what after all these jewels are nothing else than earth and ashes. Mix water with them, and they are clay. Consider and be ashamed to make clay thy master, forsaking all and abiding by it, and carrying and bearing it about, even when thou enterest into a church when most of all thou oughtest to flee from it. For neither for this cause was the church built, that thou shouldest display therein these riches, but spiritual riches. But thou, as though thou wert entering into a pompous procession, thus deckest thyself out on every side, imitating the women on the stage, even so dost thou carry about in profusion that ridiculous mass. Therefore I tell thee, thou comest for mischief to many, and when the congregation is dismissed in their houses at their tables, one may hear them all part describing these things. For they have left off saying, thus and thus said the prophet and the apostle, and they describe the costliness of your garments, the size of your precious stones, and all the other unseemliness of them that wear these things. This makes you backward in almsgiving and your husbands. For one of you would not readily consent to break up one of these ornaments to feed a poor man. For when thou wouldest choose even thyself to be in distress rather than to behold these things broken to pieces, how shouldest thou feed another at the cost of them? For most women feel towards these things as to some living beings, and not less than towards their children. God forbid, thou sayest. Prove me this then, prove it by your works, as now at least I see the contrary. For whoever of those that are completely taken captive by melting down these things would rescue a child's soul from death? And why do I say a child's? Who hath redeemed his own soul thereby when perishing? Nay, on the contrary, the more part even set it to sail for these things every day. And should any bodily infirmity take place, they do everything, but if they see their soul depraved, they take no such pains, but are careless both about their children's soul and their own soul, in order that these things may remain to rust with time. And whilst thou art wearing jewels worth 10,000 talents, the member of Christ hath not the enjoyment so much as of necessary food. And whereas the common Lord of all hath imparted to all alike of heaven and of the things in heaven, and of the spiritual table, thou dost not impart to him even of perishing things, on purpose that thou mayest continue perpetually bound with these grievous chains. Hence the countless evils, hence the fornications of the men, when ye prepare them to cast off self-restraint, when ye teach them to take delight in these things with which the harlot women deck themselves. For this cause they are so quickly taken captive. For if thou hadst instructed him to look down upon these things, and to take delight in chastity, godly fear, and humility, he would not have been so easily taken by the shafts of fornication. For the harlot is able to adorn herself in this way even to a greater degree than this, but with those other ornaments not so. Accustom him then to take delight in these ornaments, which he cannot see placed on the harlot. And how wilt thou bring him into this habit? If thou take off these and put on those others, so shall both thy husband be in safety, and thou in honour, and God will be propitious to you and all. Men will admire you, and ye will attain unto the good things to come, by the grace and love towards man of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and might, world without end. Amen. Homily nonaginta, Matthew 28, verse 11, 14. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and declared unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they had assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. For at the sake of these soldiers that earthquake took place in order to dismay them, and that the testimony might come from them, which accordingly was the result. For the report was thus free from suspicion, as proceeding from the guards themselves. For of the signs some were displayed publicly to the world, others privately to those present on the spot. Publicly for the world was the darkness, privately the appearance of the angel, the earthquake. When then they came and showed it, for truth shines forth being proclaimed by its adversaries, they again gave money, that they might say, as it is expressed, that his disciples came and stole him. How did they steal him? O most foolish of all men! For because of the clearness and conspicuousness of the truth, they are not even able to make up a falsehood. For indeed what they said was highly incredible, and the falsehood had not even speciousness. For how, I ask, did the disciples steal him, men poor and unlearned, and not venturing so much as to show themselves? What? Was not a seal put upon it? What? Were there not so many watchmen and soldiers and Jews stationed round it? What? Did not those men suspect this very thing, and take thought, and break their rest, and continue anxious about it? And wherefore, moreover, did they steal it? That they might feign the doctrine of the resurrection. And how should it enter their minds to feign such a thing, men who were well content to be hidden and to live? And how could they remove the stone that was made sure? How could they have escaped the observation of so many? Nay, though they had despised death, they would not have attempted without purpose, and fruitlessly to venture in defiance of so many who were on the watch. And that, moreover, they were timorous, what they had done before showed clearly at least when. They saw him seized, all rushed away from him. If then at that time they did not dare so much as to stand their ground when they saw him alive, how when he was dead could they but have feared such a number of soldiers? What? Was it to burst open a door? Was it that one should escape notice? A great stone lay upon it, needing many hands to move it. They were right in saying, "So the last error shall be worse than the first," making this declaration against themselves, for that when after so much mad conduct they ought to have repented, they rather strive to outdo their former acts, feigning absurd fictions, and as when he was alive they purchased his blood, so when he was dead and risen again, they again by money were striving to undermine the evidence of his resurrection. But do thou mark, I pray thee, how by their own doings they are caught everywhere. For if they had not come to Pilate, nor asked for the guard, they would have been more able to act thus impudently. But as it was, not so. For indeed, as though they were laboring to stop their own mouths, even so did they all things. For if the disciples had not strength to watch with him, and that, though upbraided by him, how could they have ventured upon these things? And wherefore did they not steal him before this, but when ye were come? For if they had been minded to do this, they would have done it, when the tomb was not yet guarded on the first night, when it was to be done without danger and insecurity. For it was on the Sabbath that they came and begged of Pilate to have the watch, and kept guard, but during the first night none of these was present by the sepulchre. And what mean also the napkins that were stuck on with the myrrh, for Peter saw these lying? For if they had been disposed to steal, they would not have stolen the body naked, not because of dishonouring it only, but in order not to delay and lose time in stripping it, and not to give them that were so disposed opportunity to awake and seize them. Especially when it was myrrh, a drug that adheres so to the body and cleaves to the clothes, whence it was not easy to take the clothes off the body. But they that did this needed much time, so that from this again, the tale of the theft is improbable. What? Did they not know the rage of the Jews, and that they would vent their anger on them? And what profit was it at all to them, if he had not risen again? So these men, being conscious that they had made up all this tale, gave money and said, "Say ye these things, and we will persuade the governor." For they desire that the report should be published, fighting in vain against the truth. And by their endeavor to obscure it, by these even against their will, they occasioned it to appear clearly. For indeed, even this establishes the resurrection, the fact I mean of their saying, that the disciples stole him. For this is the language of men confessing that the body was not there. When therefore they confess the body was not there, but the stealing it is shown to be false and incredible, by their watching by it, and by the seals, and by the timidity of the disciples, the proof of the resurrection even hence appears incontrovertible. Nevertheless, these shameless and audacious men, although there were so many things to stop their mouths, "Say ye," these are their words, "and we will persuade and will secure you." Seest thou all depraved? Pilate. For he was persuaded? The soldiers? The Jewish people? But marvel not if money prevailed over soldiers. For if with his disciple it showed its might to be so great, much more with these. And this saying is commonly reported, it is said, until this day. Seest thou again the disciples' love of truth, how they are not ashamed of saying even this, that such a report prevailed against them. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, and some worshipped, and some, when they saw him, doubted. This seems to me to be the last appearance in Galilee, when he sent them forth to baptize. And if some doubted, herein again admire their truthfulness, how they conceal not even their shortcomings up to the last day. Nevertheless, even these are assured by their sight. What then saith he unto them, when he seeth them? All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Again he speaketh to them more after the manner of man, for they had not yet received the Spirit, which was able to raise them on high. Go ye, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, giving the one charge with a view to doctrine, the other concerning commandments, and of the Jews. He makes no mention, neither brings forward what had been done, nor upbraids Peter with his denial, nor any one of the others with their flight. But having put into their hands a summary of the doctrine that expressed by the form of baptism, commands them to pour forth over the whole world. After that, because he had enjoined on them great things to raise their courage, he says, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Seest thou his own proper power again? Seest thou how those other things also were spoken for condescension? And not with those men only did he promise to be, but also with all that believe after them. For plainly the apostles were not to remain here unto the end of the world, but he speaks to the believers as to one body. For tell me not, saith he, of the difficulty of the things, for I am with you, who make all things easy. This he said to the prophets also in the Old Testament continually, as well to Jeremiah objecting his youth as to Moses and Ezekiel shrinking from the office, I am with you, this here also to these men. And mark, I pray thee, the excellence of these for the others, when sent to one nation, often excused themselves, but these said nothing of the sort, though sent to the world. And he reminds them also of the consummation, that he may draw them on more, and that they may look not at the present dangers only, but also at the good things to come that are without end. For the irksome things, saith he, that ye will undergo are finished together with the present life, since at least even this world itself shall come to an end, but the good things which ye shall enjoy remain immortal, as I have often told you before. Thus having invigorated and roused their minds by the remembrance of that day, he sent them forth. For that day to them that live in good works is to be desired, even as on the other hand to those in sin it is terrible as to the condemned. But let us not fear only and shudder, but let us change too, while there is opportunity, and let us rise out of our wickedness, for we can, if we be willing. For if before grace many did this, much more after grace. For what grievous things are we enjoined, to cleave mountains asunder, to fly into the air, or to cross the Tuscan sea? By no means, but a way of life so easy, as not so much as to want any instruments, but a soul and purpose only. For what instruments had? These apostles who effected such things, did they not go about with one vestment and unshod, and they got the better of all? For what is difficult of the injunctions? Have no enemy, hate no man, speak ill of no man. Nay, the opposites of these things are the greater hardships. But he said, You reply, Throw away thy money. Is this then the grievous thing? In the first place he did not command, but advised it. Yet even if it were a command, what is it grievous not to carry about burdens and unseasonable cares? But, O covetousness, all things are become money, for this cause all things are turned upside down. If anyone declares another happy, he mentions this. Should he pronounce him wretched, hence is derived the description of wretchedness, and all reckonings are made on this account, how such an one gets rich, how such an one gets poor. Should it be military service, should it be marriage, should it be a trade, should it be what you will that any man takes in hand, he does not apply to what is proposed until he see these riches are coming in rapidly upon him. After this, shall we not meet together and consult how we shall drive away this pest? Shall we not regard with shame the good deeds of our fathers, of the 3,000, of the 5,000 who had all things common? What is the profit of this present life when we do not use it for our future gain? How long do ye not enslave the mammon that hath enslaved you? How long are ye slaves of money? How long have ye no love for liberty, and do not rend in pieces the bargains of covetousness? But while, if ye should have become slaves of men, you do all things, if anyone should promise you liberty, yet being captives of covetousness, ye do not so much as consider how ye may be delivered from this bitter bondage. And yet the one were nothing terrible, the other is the most bitter tyranny. Consider how great a price Christ paid for us. He shed his own blood. he gave up himself. But yea, even after all this, are grown supine, and the most grievous thing of all is that ye even take delight in the slavery. Ye luxuriate in the dishonor, and that from which ye ought to flee is become an object of desire to you. But since it is right not only to lament and to blame, but also to correct, let us see from what cause this passion and this evil have become an object of desire to you. Whence then, whence hath this come to be an object of desire? Because thou sayest, it makes me to be in honor and in security. In what kind of security, I pray thee? In the confidence, not to suffer hunger, nor cold, not to be harmed, not to be despised. Wilt thou then, if we promise thee this security, refrain from being rich? For if it is for this that riches are an object of desire, if it be in your power to have security without these, what need hast thou of these any more? And how is it possible, thou sayest, for one who is not rich to attain to this? Nay, how is it possible, for I say the opposite thing, if one is rich? For it is necessary to flatter many, both rulers and subjects, and to entreat countless numbers, and to be a base slave, and to be in fear and trembling, and to regard with suspicion the eyes of the envious, and to fear the tongues of false accusers, and the desires of other covetous men. But poverty is not like this, but altogether the contrary. It is a place of refuge and security, a calm harbor, a wrestling ground, and school of exercise to learn self-command, an imitation of the life of angels. And hear these things, as many as are poor, or rather also as many as desire to be rich. It is not poverty that is the thing to be feared, but the not being willing to be poor. Account poverty to be nothing to fear, and it will not be to thee a matter for fear. For neither is this fear in the nature of the thing, but in the judgment of feeble-minded men. Or rather, I am even ashamed that I have occasion to say so much concerning poverty, to show that it is nothing to be feared. For if thou practice self-command, it is even a fountain to thee of countless blessings. And if anyone were to offer thee sovereignty, and political power, and wealth, and luxury, and then having set against them poverty, were to give thee thy choice to take which thou wouldest straightway seize upon poverty, if indeed thou knewest the beauty thereof. And I know that many laugh when these things are said, but we are not troubled, but we require you to stay, and soon you will give judgment with us. For to me poverty seems like some comely, fair, and well-favored damsel, but covetousness like some monster-shaped woman, some Scylla or Hydra or some other like prodigies feigned by fabulous writers. For bring not forward, I pray thee, them that accuse poverty, but them that have shone thereby. Nurtured in this, Elias was caught up in that blessed assumption. With this Eliseus shone, with this John, with this all the apostles, but with the other Ahab, Jezebel, Gehazi, Judas, Nero, Caiaphas were condemned. But if it please you, let us not look to those only that have been glorious in poverty, but let us observe the beauty itself of this damsel. For indeed her eye is clear and piercing, having nothing turbid in it, like the eye of covetousness, which is at one time full of anger, at another sated with pleasure, at another troubled by incontinence. But the eye of poverty is not like this, but mild, calm, looking kindly on all, meek, gentle, hating no man, shunning no man. For where there are riches, there is matter for enmity and for countless wars. The mouth again of the other is full of insults, of a certain haughtiness, of much boasting, cursing, deceit. But the mouth and the tongue of this are sound, filled with continual thanksgiving, blessing, words of gentleness, of affection, of courtesy, of praise, of commendation. And if thou wouldest see also the proportion of her members, she is of a goodly height, and far loftier than wealth. And if many flee from her, marvel not at it, for indeed so do fools from the rest of virtue. But the poor man, thou wilt say, is insulted by him that is rich. Again thou art declaring to me the praise of poverty. For who, I pray thee, is blessed, the insulter or the insulted? It is manifest that it is the insulted person. But then the one covetousness urges to insult the other. Poverty persuades to endure. But the poor man suffers hunger, thou wilt say. Paul also suffered hunger and was in famine, but he has no rest. Neither had the Son of Man where to lay his head. Seest thou how far the praises of poverty have proceeded, and where it places thee, to what men it leads thee on, and how it makes thee a follower of the Lord? If it were good to have gold, Christ, who have the unutterable blessings, would have given this to his disciples. But now, so far from giving it them, he forbade them to have it. Wherefore Peter also, so far from being ashamed of poverty, even glories in it, saying, Silver and gold have I none, But what I have give I thee. And who of you would not have desired to utter this saying? Nay, we all would extremely, perhaps someone may say. Then throw away thy silver, throw away thy gold, and if I throw it away, thou wilt say, Shall I receive the power of Peter? Why, what made Peter blessed, tell me? Was it indeed to have lifted up the lame man? By no means, but the not having these riches, this procured him heaven. For of those that wrought these miracles, many fell into hell, but they, who did those good things, attained a kingdom. And this you may learn even of Peter himself, for there were two things that he said, Silver and gold have I none. And in the name of Jesus Christ rise up and walk. Which sort of thing then made him glorious and blessed, the raising up the lame man, or the casting away his money? And this you may learn from the master of the conflicts himself. What then doth he himself say to the rich man seeking eternal life? He said not, Raise up the lame, but sell thy goods and give to the poor, and come and follow me. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And Peter again said not, Behold, in thy name we east out devils. Although he was casting them out, but behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, what shall we have? And Christ again, in answering this apostle, said not, If any man raise up the lame, but whosoever hath forsaken houses or lands shall receive 100-fold in this world, and shall inherit everlasting life. Let us also then emulate this man, that we may not be confounded, but may with confidence stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that we may win him to be with us, even as he was with his disciples. For he will be with us like as he was with them, if we are willing to follow them and to be imitators of their life and conversation. For in consequence of these things God crowns and commends men, not requiring of thee to raise the dead or to cure the lame. For not these things make one to be like Peter, but the casting away one's goods, for this was the apostle's achievement. But dost thou not find it possible to east them away? In the first place, I say, it is possible, but I compel thee not if thou art not willing, nor constrain thee to it. But this I entreat, to spend at least a part on the needy, and to seek for thyself nothing more than is necessary. For thus shall we both live our life here without trouble, and in security, and enjoy eternal life. Unto which God grant we all may attain, by the grace and love towards man of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and might, together with the Father and the Holy Ghost, now and always, and world without end. Amen.